We see a progression from generation to generation. In part 11 of the study, we saw that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree as a covenant memorial at Beersheba. That's Genesis 21 verse 33. Isaac then went a step further by building an altar there as a memorial to God and camping there for a while. That's in Genesis 26 verse 23 to 25. Jacob went even further by offering sacrifices to God there, probably on the same altar that Isaac built. You can read about that in Genesis 46 verse 1. We have seen altars mentioned before in the study. An altar is a place of sacrifice to God. An altar can also be a reminder or memorial of a covenant or of an encounter with God. It is often a boundary marker. A stone altar would be made using stones formed naturally. They were never to be chiseled or shaped using any tools. Stones are very interesting. The early altars, as well as Jacob's pillars, which we will read about at a later time, were all natural stone. Stone symbolizes permanence. Uncut stone speaks of it being the way God made it, unhampered by human effort. Stones don't absorb, and therefore they are always ritually pure. A sacrifice always gives up its life. Its blood is always shed. There is no such thing as a partially sacrificed animal. For the sacrificial animal, the altar is a place of total commitment and surrender. A sacrifice has to be perfect. It cannot have anything wrong with it at all. As I spent time meditating on Isaac's journey as he went from well to well, God started to speak things to me and show me how I have myself personally walk the same journey. I have traveled to many of these same wells. I have camped at and dug up and drunk from many of the same wells that Isaac drank from. And so this is what God gave me as I was meditating on it. I just started to type it out as I saw it. Applying the lesson of Isaac's wells to our own lives. A well is what we drink from. If we do not drink water, we will die. And so wells are essential for survival. After Abraham died, Isaac's journey started at Beer Lahai Roi, which is the well of him that lives and sees me. Our spiritual journeys must start at the same well. We must drink the revelation that God is alive and that he sees us. We also need water to nourish the precious seed of God's word in our lives. Without it, the seed will die and never bear fruit. Thus, we have to then reopen our Father's wells. They have been stopped up by the enemy and are filled with rocks and dirt and rotting corpses. In order to drink from those wells, all the works of the enemy must be undone. For example, one of our spiritual fathers is Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a monk who reformed the church and changed the course of history because he had a divine revelation that it was only through faith in Jesus as Messiah that any man could be saved. However, Luther's views on women and Jews were ungodly, to say the least. His opinion was that Jews' homes should be destroyed, their synagogues burned, and their money confiscated. He said it was useless to convert any Jew, and he accused them of a relentless hatred of Christianity and of many crimes. His anti-Semitic writings were a source of inspiration for Hitler. Concerning women, he said, "If a woman grows weary and at last dies from childbearing, it matters not. Let her die from bearing, she is there to do it." And the word and works of God is quite clear that women were made either to be wives or prostitutes. Isaac could easily have been so revolted by the rotting corpses stopping up his father's wells that he may have abandoned them altogether. In the same way, it would be easy to be revolted by Luther's views on Jews and women, and so we should be. However, if we remove the enemy's works and bury what stinks, we will gain access to the clean and beautiful water that is hidden underneath it all. That precious water can save lives, that the just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ alone. After we go through that process of opening up our Father's wells and removing the works of the enemy, we then discover living water. Living water is a natural moving fountain. When living water is at the bottom of a well, it means that the well is fed by moving underground springs. It is not stagnant water. It is alive and life-giving. Isaac teaches us that when we start to dig our own wells, we often come against opposition. It can cause quarreling and contention, and others may even use our wells as an opportunity to accuse us. When God starts to give you spiritual revelations from His Word, it may be very unpopular if others don't see things the same way that you do. Sadly, it is usually your own brothers and sisters in Christ who are most likely to turn on you and accuse you if you are drinking from a well of revelation that they have never sipped from. If you, like Isaac, refuse to be drawn into the conflict and keep moving along and digging more wells, then one day you will find yourself in a broad place. When you get there, you will look back and find that the same people who attacked you in the past are now drinking from those wells you dug. Once you have gone through this whole process, you will find yourselves at the well of covenant oath, where you are one with those who sent you away in the past. At that well of covenant oath, you must build an altar and become a living sacrifice to God. This is a place of prosperity, blessing, wholeness, restoration, and resurrection to the glory of God. Selah. Thank you so much. See you next week. God bless you. Bye for now.